This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, August 25th, 2024. Life verses, God draws you.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
There at home, here in the sanctuary. This is just a great day to be part of God's creation. Oh, yeah. Good, good, good. So it's our fourth and final Sunday on our series, Life Verses. First week, we talked about how God embraces you. Then we talked about the next 2 weeks ago, how God empowers you. Last week, we talked about how God guides you. And this morning, we're going to focus on how God draws you.
Good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is great to be with you this morning. One of our biggest cheerleaders, Bruce, our encourager, it's always good to see him. So, and all of you. Those of you online, thanks for joining us. We hope that all of you feel connected and loved. Let's go ahead and pray. Almighty God, we thank you for today. It's a day that you've made, a day that is a gift. Help us not take our days for granted. Help us not take our loved ones for granted. Help us not take our jobs for granted, those things that we have for granted, but help us be grateful. Be grateful. We thank you for this time. Settle us in. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. So before Alan gets started, I am grateful for all of your prayers. I'm going to show off a little bit. I couldn't do that last week. I was suffering. But this week is a good week. So God is good. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Start?
Okay. Start.
So God draws you, draws closer to himself through a variety of means. You know, we talk about the spiritual discipline. He draws you through the spiritual discipline, like here this morning, worship. That's one of those spiritual disciplines, through prayer, through reading his word, the Bible, through meditation. There's others. You know, one way that God especially draws us closer is by calling you to serve. Ooh, hello. And I don't mean just here at church, although that's included, but serving wherever you might be. And just like we most readily serve those closest to us, our spouse, our children, our parents, family, friends, the closer God draws us to himself, the more willing we are to serve, the more comfortably we are to serve, the more joyful we are to serve, and the more we're willing to serve, then the closer we are to God. You see how it kind of builds on each other. Drawing close and serving go hand in hand.
And so we have two life verses this morning, and our first life verse deals with serving, so does our second one, and it's found in the book of Joshua. Now, Joshua is found in the Old Testament. And to set the scene a little bit, Moses has died, and Joshua is now in charge. And so his job is to get the people ready to cross the River Jordan into the Promised Land. And so Joshua proceeds to tell what happens. We find out in the book of Joshua what happens after they cross the River Jordan, and then battle for the possession of the land. You know, once they crossed, it wasn't easy peasy. They still had to battle for the land that God had set aside for them.
So chapter 4 is the last chapter in the book of Joshua, as well as the last chapter of Joshua's life. At the beginning of the chapter, he assembles all the tribes of Israel. That's a lot of people that he's bringing together. And he addresses the entire population. He, in this case, is serving as the Lord's mouthpiece. And so he tells the people what the Lord would say to them, what the Lord wants him to say to them. So then, speaking for God, this is what he says. He says, your ancestors, starting with Terah, Abraham's father, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. But I, God, took Abraham from that land and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants, including Jacob and his family, who went down to live in Egypt. They were enslaved there, actually, then for 400 years. And so I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians in order to free my people, the people that Josh was talking to right there. I separated the Red Sea, allowing my people to cross, and then closed it again, bringing down Pharaoh and his men.
So Joshua just did a big summary of lots and lots of years. And then he continues to speak for God. For God, God says through Joshua, I brought you to the land of the Amorites. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of the land. You crossed the River Jordan into Jericho. The citizens there fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I gave you the land on which you do not toil, and cities you did not build. Like, they didn't do anything for it, and the Lord just gave it to them. You live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves you did not plant.
And then Joshua addresses the people, not speaking for God here, but speaking for himself. And here's what Joshua says to the people. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods. Notice that's a little g on that gods. It's not the God we worship. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if choosing the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Say the rest with me, please. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
So here we have Joshua at the end of his life, and he's really very bold in what he is speaking. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. What about all of you? And he's telling them that they have a choice, this or that or him. And it's the same choice we have. And it's the same choice Adam and Eve had. This is a choice that people all through history have had. And the choice is really very simple. It's not simple to live out, but the choice is simple. Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. And to do so means to throw away the little g gods, throw away those gods that your ancestors worshiped, the ones they worshiped before, you know, in their old life. Don't keep doing that. Because the gods that the ancestors worshiped were represented by carved wooden things and ivory. And, you know, it's like they think that's going to save them. Well, they did. They did. And so we have see an example of this actually in Genesis 31. Rachel had taken the household gods, little g gods, and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. It's like she was hiding them because she knew she really shouldn't have them. Laban searched through everything in the tent and found nothing. So there was, in fact, they did have these little g gods, these idols that they were. We actually saw that in India when we were there, all these little g gods, these things that were, you know, worshiping a rat or worshiping a cow. You know, the cow's really going to save us? I don't think so. So the New Living Translation refers to these idols as household idols, the objects that they worshiped. To serve the Lord in this scripture meant that literally they would throw them away. They would get rid of them.
Hmm. And you know, we might be thinking, really, they worship these idols, they worship these little g gods. That's hard to believe. Well, we do the same thing all too often. Even when we might not even realize it. It's just that ours go by other names. See, their gods had names like, maybe you've heard of them, the Baals. You've heard of in Scripture of the Baals, or Ashtoreth, or Asherah, or Chemosh, or Moloch. Ours had names like Cadillac, Lincoln, Acura, a savings account.
I do love my Acura.
There you go. Savings account, summer home. There's one with a name for it. How about movie star? How about athlete? They all get worshipped. You know, we haven't changed all that much, have we? You know, humans are humans, no matter when or where. Yep. Let's look at this scripture again. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that they worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if, check that out, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah. So we're going to focus on three words right now. But, if, then. Let's start with but. But, that's a word we see in Scripture a lot. In fact, like 4,000 times. What a shocker. That is in Scripture. But, like, we're going in one direction. But means like a pause or a stop or a change of direction. Okay, go ahead and try that, but, you know, we use that word a lot. So, this word, but, it gives us, like, a choice. And, in this case, the but is followed by an if. But, if, I know I've said that, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose your God. Choose your little G God. Oh, they'll save you, right? Oh, my goodness. But if then, what little God, what little G God do you serve? Mm-hmm. What little G God has power over you, over me?
And then Joshua makes a clear, concise, unequivocal statement as to which one he chooses, not only for himself, but for himself and his household. But as for me and my household, that's important. He's not just speaking for him, but those closest to him. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Not we may serve, we might serve. We could, we would, we should serve.
I'll serve on Friday, but not on Thursday.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss little rhyme, doesn't it, there? Anyway, no, Joshua is certain, no ifs, ands, or buts, we will serve the Lord.
So we've really enjoyed hearing from many of you about your life verses and why they're your life verses. Thank you. It really fed us as we read through the many submissions. And today's life verse in Joshua 24 is Murray Drummond's life verse. And so, as we asked you, we've asked him to share why it's his life verse. So we're going to invite Murray to come up, and actually, we have a little add-on, because Courtney's going to come up, too. And if you were here at first service, Courtney wasn't with him, and she's with him now. So, here you go. Thank you.
The bonus plan.
Good morning. I wish I was one of those elegant speakers that could just get up here and, you know, roll it out and let it go, but I'm not. I have to read what I put down on paper. So I just want to share this. I don't remember a specific time or event that struck me to claim this as my life verse scripture. I think that over time, as I grew in my relationship with Christ, I knew that I had to not only give myself to God, but also my possessions to God. After all, it all belongs to Him anyway. And I think this mindset made me realize that I also needed to work on changing my attitude about how I was leading my family. I really tried to base my decisions on this verse. If God is walking with me in my house, what does He expect me to do? Therefore, the choices I make affect those of my spouse and my children. I'm trying to be the leader of my household the way God would approve of. Was I leading in a God-honoring way? Was I walking the walk at home or just out in public? I wanted my children to see God through me and my love for God. I want them to see me as Jesus with skin on. I wanted them to be able to claim their home as a safe place for their spiritual walk when maybe the outside world wasn't so safe. Did this always live out at home the way I looked at it in my head or the way I saw it in my head? Absolutely not. So many times I've failed, but by the grace of God and sometimes with the help of my wife and my children, I get steered back on track. I guess for me, this whole verse is what I really stand on and not just the last part. When I read this verse, I can see Joshua kind of standing proudly and passionately, sticking his staff in the ground and making his stance known. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The gods, little g, that I served were such things as money, possessions, a nice house, a good job. But most of all, the desire I had was this dream to be a farmer. Always, always to be a farmer. That's been my lifelong dream. I've worked on farms part-time for most of my life, but that just scratched the itch. It wasn't until I was 63 years old, I believe God allowed me to have my dream come true. I believe that all the pieces had to be in line with God's will. And the biggest piece was my heart and my head had to be right with Him. And what started out as a part-time position soon became full-time. This is what retirement looks like for me. Working, but doing what I love, with people that I love, and a family that has made me feel like part of their family. God has been so gracious and set the boundaries so wide for me that I wouldn't dream of serving anything or anyone else but the Lord. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Courtney Drummond, and I'm here because God's got jokes. Little bit of background on me. When I took my network class, do you guys know what network is, or gifts discovery course? It's a class you take that kind of helps you discover what your spiritual gifts are. So God's really got jokes here, because my top two were away by 1 point. So on one side, I've got creative worship. And for me, that means being up here in front of everyone on praise team and really kind of putting myself out there. And on the other hand, I've got the gift of helps, which is very much so background, helping in the background, helping with the jobs that nobody sees. And my personality is one that leans towards the background, the helps. I've been trying to get Carrie to let me sing from behind the partition for 23 years. So let's see how well that worked out. But I'm here because God laid it on my heart after first service that I needed to come up and follow up after my dad. I said no and drove home, and I was halfway home, and God said, turn around. So here I am, freaking out just a little bit, because I'm also like my dad and need things written down, and I don't have that. So bear with me. Your kids are watching you. That, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is my dad's life verse, and he very much so lived it. And your kids are watching you, and they're learning from you how to interact with people and the church and the community. Because I am very much so an introvert. I don't like being the center of attention. I don't like being out front. But sometimes you have to step out in faith. You have to get out of your comfort zone. And sometimes you need a little push. I'm on praise team because we started this church when I was 15, and Dad said, we need some people on praise team because we had a very small starter group, and he said, guess what? You're it. So, and yet the praise team has become my family in the past almost 23 years. It's through him that I've learned how to serve in a way that fits both my gifts and my personality. I always felt kind of useless because in the church, we always push going out, meeting people, sharing your testimony, talking to people. And everyone that knows me knows that that is definitely not who I am. I'm all up for helping in the background, but do not make me talk to people. Please, for the love of God, don't make me talk to people. And yet, my dad, throughout his life, has showed me that we can be the hands and feet of God and sometimes use words. We can serve the church in all those background positions that people don't always know about. And we have been right there with him and my mom serving in those positions. They brought us with them when we needed to clean the church because we didn't have a cleaner that week, or work needed to be done. Some construction work needed to be done. We're not good at construction. Dad is. We can hand him things. So he always made sure we were very involved and knew that we were to serve the Lord in our own capacity, in the way that met, that fit with our spiritual gifts. So just, and it's not just parents, it's grandparents, it's aunts, it's uncles, it's adopted grandparents. The kids are watching you. So serve the Lord to the best of your ability and bring them along with you so that they know from a young age how to serve the Lord. Thanks.
For 23 years, we've asked Courtney to pray in front of people, and she's been too shy. Today, for the first time in her life, she's just given her testimony. The Lord is amazing, Courtney, and to all of you, be encouraged, because you don't know, you might be driving home and the Lord's gonna say, turn around, I got something for you. And it's a great day. It's a great day. Thank you so much for being obedient. That's huge. Whew. All right. So our first life verse was from Joshua 24. Our second life verse focuses on God drawing us in that we might serve the Lord. But it's not found in the Old Testament. It's found in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus.
And the purpose of the book is to strengthen the believers in their Christian walk and their faith, and to talk to them about what it means to be the body of Christ.
At the end of chapter 5, the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about the relationship between husbands and wives and how to treat those relationships as Christ would have us treat them. If you've never read book 5 of Ephesians and you're married, I would thoroughly encourage you to do that as soon as you can. Chapter 6 then goes on talking about relationships, and this was talking about relationships that are close to us. In this case, the relationship of parents and children. And then Paul continues with the relationship between slaves and masters. The Life Application Bible tells us that slaves played an important role in that society. At the time the letter was written, the Roman Empire had several million slaves. As both slaves and owners had become Christians, the early church had to deal with the question of the relationship between them. Now, Paul doesn't deal with the concept of slavery itself, the good or the bad or whatever, but the relationship between the owners and slaves, telling them how they should live together in Christian households. As women, children, and slaves at that time, at that place, had few rights and freedoms, Paul shares with husbands, parents, and masters how to be caring with the women, children, and slaves. And so we have the life verse. The second life verse is Ephesians 6, 7, and 8. Serve wholeheartedly. That's with your whole heart. That's with everything you've got. Give it all that you have as if you were serving the Lord. Not like you're serving each other, as if you're serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free.
So this is a really challenging verse. I mean, we wonder why Paul didn't speak of the wrongs of slavery, and we have gotten that wrong for, you know, all throughout history. But what Paul's trying to do is to tell the people that as they live together in community, that people need to be treated with dignity and with worth. And there's this word doulos, it's translated into servant or slave. And a little context is that Hebrew slaves were owned, that's a hard word to say, for 7 years. Gentiles, there was no time limit, that those were the non-Jews, no time limit. But what was of concern to Paul here was that everyone was becoming Christian and that we needed to treat people in Christ-like ways, no matter what our role was. And so in serving whatever capacity Paul says that we should serve as if serving the Lord, whether we're a master or whether we're a slave, those being served were to be treated with respect and dignity as equals, Paul says. This was pretty radical during this time. It's too bad we didn't continue to live it out. But this was Paul's purpose behind this message.
Now, unfortunately, there's still slavery some places in the world. Fortunately, not in the United States. And so it's kind of hard to put any kind of context on this for us in the modern day where we are. So the closest we could come was how we treat each other in a modern setting and in the marketplace, in the business world, and in our workspace. Not that we're slaves and free in the workspace, but we do have a relationship that is controlling and things of that nature. As Christian employees, what this scripture is telling us is that we should do our jobs as if Jesus were our supervisor in the workplace. And Christian employers should treat their employees fairly, with respect, and again, as if Jesus were overseeing the situation. And in both cases, then our ultimate supervisor, our ultimate boss then, is not that guy up in the booth there overseeing, but it's Jesus Christ. And we should treat each other at all times with that in mind. Think about that for a minute. Think about Jesus overseeing the workplace. If Christ were your supervisor, would your workplace effort be any different? Do you sometimes give less than your best? I have to say, sometimes yes, for me, if I'm perfectly honest. Either as an employee or employer, do you sometimes give less than your best? How about when you're working from home, since in this post-COVID culture where we can work from home, are you easily distracted in the home workplace setting? It happens easy, doesn't it? There's laundry, there's always something. The thing is, we should give it all we've got, not because of the people we're working for, but because we always want to give God our best. Whether we're at home, here at church, at school, on the job, in the workspace, wherever, whenever, whoever. You know, we give God our best, and in so doing, we give others our best, no matter who they are.
And so, giving God our best isn't about racking up brownie points to get to heaven. That's not what it is. That's not what we need to do to be saved. In order to be saved, you know, we confess with our lips, we repent, we turn from, and we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for us, that he came to give us new life in abundance, that he shed his own blood, the sacrificial lamb, so that we could have eternal life with him. I realize our need for a savior, someone beyond ourselves. You know, sometimes I am just all too self-sufficient instead of God-sufficient. We are not saved by what we do, so no matter how much you serve, it certainly doesn't save you, but because of what Jesus has already done. We don't give our best to earn our salvation. That's already been done. But we do give our best to honor God as a thank you note for each and every day. Many of us have been in workplaces, maybe you're there now, that are not easy. Many times it's like, what am I even doing? And, you know, we skim off here, or we don't give our best. Or if we're an employer, we might not treat the employees the way we should. And God doesn't want that. Just like we talked about in the other scripture, you know, who are you going to serve? You know, yourself or the Almighty God? Our response to honor God is to give God our best, even when it's hard, and to do it anyway. Make a switch if you need to, but to do our best, especially when it's hard, as if Jesus was our supervisor.
It's like that scripture, be a light on the hill, shine. And who knows in that workplace, it might be a challenge, who knows what your example, how things might change. Who knows that supervisor might see you, and because of what you show, that person might even come to Christ. I've known of that happening before, and I know it's going to happen again.
You know, Courtney's message, people are watching. The world is watching how we do life.
Yeah. So what about you? Are you giving God your best all the time? Are you doing your best with God in mind? Whether you're serving or being served, whether you're the boss or the employee, Do you treat others with the respect you normally reserve for God? You know, we all have a choice, as we talked about earlier. We all have a choice every day of our lives, for ourselves and for our households. We can give our time and attention and serve those little g gods in our lives, and there's plenty of them, or we can choose to serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we've chosen to serve the Lord. What about you? What about you? Let's pray. Most holy God, it's kind of a tough scripture, kind of a mirror here, and sometimes we don't really like looking in the mirror, especially if we don't like what we see, but please, God, help us to serve with all we've got. And even in those challenging situations, please give us the strength and the courage to serve as if we are serving you, because ultimately we are, Lord. And Lord, in our households, please help us to look to you, the big G God, the God of all creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please help us to look to you and not let those little G gods of everyday life get in our way. Please help us to always remember that you are number one, Lord, and everything else is second or beyond. Please help us to be focused on you first and foremost with everything we've got. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we pray, and all those gathered here this morning said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.